Hello and welcome to another episode of the Southern Plains Podcast. My name is Clay Pope. I'm with the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub in El Reno, Oklahoma. And this podcast is a joint venture of the Hub and the Redlands Community College Division of Agriculture, also located in El Reno. We appreciate y'all listening to us today. And on the show as our guest this morning, we have with us Cheryl Cheadle. Cheryl Cheadle is the volunteer coordinator with the Blue Thumb Program for the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. Cheryl, thanks so much for taking time to be with us on the podcast.
I am happy to be here.
Well, Cheryl, let's just go ahead and jump in real quick. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into the work that you do, what the work that you do is, and just talk a little bit about the Blue Thumb Program and what you do as volunteer coordinator for the program there at the Oklahoma Conservation Commission.
Okay. Blue Thumb is a water quality education program. It is a part of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. And we use volunteers. We often call them citizen scientists. And these volunteers do stream monitoring, actually get out there in streams and test the water. And they send in that data. And some of the volunteers do more of education type work to help citizens understand their role in protecting streams and rivers.
Well, now, when you say education, what's the age group that they generally work with? Is it children? Is it adults? Is it a little bit of both? Kind of what's the – talk a little bit about the education efforts.
The Blue Thumb staff members and the hundreds of volunteers we have, we work with all ages. Now, you can imagine that we get lots of phone calls to get out there and help out at schools with scout troops, with things like that. But we also work a great deal with adults. And, I mean, we like what we do, and we like to be able to say yes when somebody says, that sounds interesting, I'd like to know more, so can you come and give a talk to our Lions Club? But we do get lots of requests from schools or from partners that work with schools that want to get children outdoors, learning about real science in the real world. So we like it all, Clay, and if it was just up to the Blue Thumb staff, there's a total of 5 of us. Well, the Blue Thumb staff can do so much, but when you add to that caring volunteers all across the state, then we can get a lot done and we can help a lot of people learn to appreciate this land we live on and this water that we have to have.
Now, we've talked a little bit about, you know, how you work for Blue Thumb, or that's the program that you work for. Talk a little bit about exactly what Blue Thumb is, how it's funded. Now, it's associated with the 319 program through EPA, isn't it?
Yes, we are a part of Nonpoint Source Pollution funding. Blue Thumb actually got its start in Tulsa County in 1992, and I'm proud to say I was there at the beginning of that. And through the Tulsa County Conservation District and the local Tulsa County OSU Cooperative Extension. That was where Blue Thumb got its start way back when. And we were an urban stream monitoring project. And we had well-trained, a very caring group of volunteers. And the program was going so well that Oklahoma County also pulled in some of that 319 money from the EPA, and they started a program. And when that program also went well, in approximately 1997, Mason Mungle, who was the head of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission at that time, he says, well, why don't we do this statewide? And I felt very fortunate that they let me give that a try. And we're happy with where we ended up statewide with Blue Thumb. We have streams being monitored pretty much all over the state. And we have people who have learned about using some of the educational tools that we have that are willing to check these out from us and take them to classrooms, take them to neighborhood association meetings, take them to out with whenever they're going to talk to any kind of a group. Sometimes our younger volunteers who are in high school or middle school will borrow them and take them to their local science class. So we really like how we are reaching lots and lots of people through Blue Thumb across the state of Oklahoma. With, of course, our basic message is everyone can help protect streams and rivers to have clean water, water that's clean for people to use, water that's clean and healthy for fish to swim in, for deer to drink, just water that functions for everybody and in every way it's supposed to.
Now, we'd mentioned a little bit about how it's part of the 319 program, which is part of the Clean Water Act. It's the, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the non-point source pollution funding that goes to states to help them address some of the challenges that they have within their borders. Is that correct?
That is correct. And when you're talking about non-point source pollution, you got to stop and think, what do those words mean? If it's called non-point source pollution, that should be a clue that it is hard to tell exactly where this pollution is coming from. So this is the type of pollution that is best dealt with through education. Well, and that's best dealt with through helping farmers understand that they can do their grazing in such a way that it reduces erosion. And that's helping people in town understand that when that car has an oil leak, if they get that fixed, those are some drips that are not going to make it to the local stream or river.
Well, you know, and that's what Oklahoma, I know, when we've talked on it on some earlier podcast episodes, has had some great success in taking streams off the EPA's impaired list. And I have to wonder, do other states have programs similar to Blue Thumb within them, or is Oklahoma kind of an anomaly when it comes to this effort?
I know that Missouri and Arkansas have programs that I think fall under the class of a thing called Stream Team. And I know that they do some good work with getting people out there and a lot of caring people who want to do their part to help protect streams and rivers. Some states will have more of watershed programs. There'll be a specific watershed that has a group working in it. One of the things I like about Blue Thumb and the way we monitor is the Blue Thumb program was set up, number one, to get quality data. And it was really not set up to be totally warm and fuzzy that people would be attracted to it because it was so easy. We help people understand, yes, you have the ability to get involved in this. And we have tweaked our program over the years, but the basics are still there from day one, Clay, is we have monitoring that covers chemistry, what's happening in the water at that moment in time. We do collections of benthic macroinvertebrates, which are the little bugs, if you want to call them that, that live in the stream. And we have fish collections, and we have habitat assessments, so we can take a look at how good the habitat is. Because, everybody's home has to have a few things in it that adds to their comfort, or they're not going to be able to be there. So that's what we often call the three-legged stool of Blue Thumb monitoring, is the chemistry, the life in the stream, and the habitat of the water. And the nice thing about Blue Thumb is the water chemistry, that is taken on by the trained volunteers, and they make that happen with their teams at their convenience out on their stream, so long as it is at least once a month. But when we're looking at the benthic macroinvertebrates, when we're looking at the fish, when we're looking at the habitat, a Blue Thumb staff member is with the volunteers on site to make sure that we get that data in just the form it's supposed to be. And the volunteers are there to make it happen, but with Blue Thumb assistance and oversight the whole way.
So let me just make sure I understand that. When they're doing the monitoring under Blue Thumb, it's done by volunteers, that those five staffers you talked about are going out and giving oversight, but basically training folks to go out and do this on a voluntary basis. Is that right?
Yes, although I will say this, those five staff members are never all out there together. We divide and conquer. We are going to be all in different places, different times, and actually doing different things too.
Well, now, how do you get your volunteers? How's that? How do you get folks in the door to be part of the program?
Well, let me say this, Clay. You would probably not be surprised, but there's a ton of people that are Oklahomans who are willing and wanting to do something good for their state. So number one, we get volunteers because people want to help make a difference. Number two, we'll often have a volunteer who says, hey, I got this creek running through my property. I'd like to know more. Well, if you've got a creek running through your property, you might like Blue Thumb. And another way, science teachers in the high schools, maybe in the middle schools, they're saying, I want my students to have hands-on real science activities. Blue Thumb is perfect for them. They get those kids out at the creek, out in the water, learning about water testing, learning about collections, learning about quality assurance, which means that that you've got to do it right. You can't be sloppy. So that's some of the ways we get water. And then we have that person every now and then, Clay, who just says, I really want to be a part of something good for Oklahoma. And I've learned about this Blue Thumb. I think I'm going to get involved. So those are just some of the ways we get our volunteers. And as a volunteer coordinator, Clay, one of the things I do is I make sure that if we're having Blue Thumb training somewhere, I get the word out so that people know about us coming to town. And that's kind of a quick overview of where we find our people, but it's a pretty accurate one.
Well, now you mentioned a little bit about teachers, and I know you talked on education earlier. Kind of walk me through, if you have a group of say, let's say high school or middle school students that you're working with, or a Boy Scouts group, or 4-H or FFA kids, what kind of walk me through what the just a basic thumbnail sketch of the, some of the education that and or some of the outreach that you do with these folks, what it would look like and what all it entails.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Let's say I find a teacher who is interested in coming to a Blue Thumb training, getting themselves trained, and then taking their FFA group to do the monthly monitoring and then to work with the Blue Thumb staff. If we can get that teacher to come to Blue Thumb training, because it's hard for everybody to find the time. It's two full days across a weekend. So let's say that teacher comes to our training. Well, that's awesome. And now what we're going to do for that teacher is if he or she will give us half a day with their students, we're going to bring the equipment to them. We're going to teach those kids how to do that chemical monitoring with the Blue Thumb test kits. So that teacher's going to get a refresher on everything they've just learned. And we're going to help teach the students, because that can be overwhelming when you're looking at a group of 12 students. You've just learned to run the test. And that way you get that refresher, your students are brought up to speed. We hopefully will even take them out to the creek and get them oriented with their new water quality monitoring site. And then we'll get them started on that. And then hopefully before too long, it's going to be time to be coming back into their watershed, because that's one of the beauties of Blue Thumb, Clay, is that we don't get you trained, throw a kit in your hands and say, see ya, don't forget to send your data in. We are going to be coming back, being in touch quarterly. There's always going to be something you're going to be involved with if you are a monitoring volunteer with Blue Thumb. So we don't leave you hanging.
Well, let's kind of switch that around a little bit. You were talking some about teachers and student groups. What about adults? I know you'd mentioned working with agriculture producers. And, you know, we always, you know, when you're thinking about non-point source pollution, especially in a watershed that has a large agriculture footprint, unless you've got those farmers and ranchers on board, you know, you're kind of, well, you're, I hate to say it like this, kind of swimming upstream and trying to get things addressed. So how would you, if you were working with a group of adults, especially agriculture producers, what would that effort look like?
Well, that effort would look like they're going to get that Blue Thumb training that we talked about. It's going to be 2 days, and we're going to be introducing some concepts. And when you're talking about non-point source pollution, yes, there is an agricultural component, and there's an urban component, so we're going to be covering both of those. With non-point source pollution, there's no pointing the finger and say, well, you did it, you did it, you did it, because we are all having an impact on our water bodies. So we're going to go through that training. And then what's going to happen is, in the near future, one of the staff members is going to meet up with those newly trained volunteers on the site that they want to monitor. So if it's their stream out in the country, we're going to meet there. That's going to give us a good look at their stream, at what's going on around it. And we are going to be able to get them started on their site, and they're going to begin bringing in what we're going to call baseline data. And we will have the data that they have, and then we're going to start doing those bugs. We're going to start doing those fish, because here's the thing, Clay. When we monitor for the life in the stream, the benthic macroinvertebrates, or the aquatic insects and bugs, and the fish of the water, we will know what we found, because we keep that data. And once we have that data, as those populations increase, or get better, or decrease, or we lose some species, we are keeping track of that, and we can know what is happening in those streams. And even at some point, Clay, after those volunteers have been monitoring for a while, we've got a good set of data, those folks are going to sit down, and they are going to write what is called a Blue Thumb data interpretation, based on all the information that has been pulled together about their stream. Now, this is going to take over a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years to pull all that together. but we're going to end up having information on every stream that the Blue Thumb volunteers monitor. And this is critical, good information. And it needs to be in the hands of local science teachers, of local landowners, and of others who give a darn about water resources in Oklahoma.
Now, how many streams are you currently working on in Oklahoma? How many stream segments do you have a Blue Thumb presence in today?
About 80.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good footprint across the state.
It's pretty good. And if you wanted to, you know, and we have historic sites that are no longer monitored. And we might, you know, and what we always like is if somebody wants to start monitoring one of those sites where we had data 8 years ago, that's always good, too, because then we can see what's been happening since the last time somebody was active on that site. And basically, a lot of the streams that Blue Thumb monitors, there's nobody else collecting data on these streams. So if you don't have Blue Thumb data, you may not have data at all on some of these streams. So that's a big shout out to the volunteers willing to go out there and make this happen.
We know you'd mentioned a little bit about the report that they put together encapsulating all that data and how you try to get it out into the hands of the folks in the watershed, especially agriculture producers. Can you talk a little bit about the intersection of Blue Thumb with, say, USDA and the local conservation districts? Obviously, working for the State Conservation Agency, there's a close connection there, but could you kind of outline that a little bit for our listeners to let us know how you kind of work together with USDA and what they do on the ground, and then also those local subunits of government out there, those conservation districts that are spread throughout the state?
Well, that's almost a two-part question, because we have the Blue Thumb program that does monitoring, and then we have water quality specialists working for the Oklahoma Conservation Commission that is also out there on a lot of the streams. And both Blue Thumb data and those water quality specialist data is very meaningful. And I can tell you this, that if you have local producers that are applying conservation practices to their land, as we continue monitoring, we can frequently see that the good work done by landowners, along with partners, pays off in reduced turbidity in the streams, in reduced bacteria in the streams, reduced erosion in areas, and protected riparian zones, which I know you know what a riparian zone is, that nice big zone of native vegetation that runs along the banks of a stream where you got your trees and your shrubs and your grasses. That will help protect a stream. So leaving a stream within that riparian zone is one of the best things you can do for it. And you might say, well, what does Blue Thumb have to do with riparian zones? Well, remember I told you that there is a habitat portion to our monitoring. And this is also true with the Conservation Commission's water quality specialists. When we do the physical compilation of data, when we're collecting that data, we are looking at that riparian zone and we are giving it a score based on if that riparian zone is in good condition, if it's been left in place, or if maybe some landowner has possibly let the cows just come beat it to a pulp and eat everything up in there. So, or if we're in a city, what if they've tried to develop within 12 feet of the banks of that stream? Because, you know, Clay, you'll now and then have people who don't get what it's like to try to protect the outdoors. And sometimes those people need a little bit of help. And our volunteers try to be in that role of, you know what, you could do this and that'd be better for your land. And with USDA, a lot of the programs that USDA can offer will help the agricultural community to put those practices on the ground. And that makes an amazing difference in many cases. And, you know, you mentioned the water quality success stories. Water quality success stories happen when we find streams that are not performing as we think or functioning as they should. They don't have the fish and the bugs, or they have too much bacteria. And when you've got landowners who will go in there and make some changes to their property, and then we continue that monitoring and we start seeing improvement, that is a cause for celebration for everybody, the landowner and the folks who care about waters that flow through the state of Oklahoma. That is a cause for celebration.
We need to mention the riparian areas, but it sounds like you're talking a lot about those practices, or a lot of what we talk about when we talk about soil health or regenerative agriculture too, isn't it? That reducing tillage and cover crops, better grazing, things that can help as far as reducing erosion, but also increase the carbon sequestration, the carbon level in the soil, the organic matter. Those are some of the same practices that we're talking about too, isn't it?
Absolutely. You are hitting the nail on the head. And, you know, often when I'm out there talking to the public, I say, in Oklahoma, we are just about at an agricultural revolution because there are so many more people who are doing the no-till, who are doing the cover crops, who are protecting riparian zones, who are doing their grazing in a manner where the land can recover quickly. And I'm excited to be a part of that. I am excited to see the good things that are happening. And when I drive into a county where I see bare soil that's been tilled up in the traditional manner, I'm thinking, you know, it's time for us to do some of that good soil health workshops and our soil health team and our relationship with NRCS. We have made such amazing headway with bringing people aboard to do the good things that protect streams and rivers. And you know what? I'm not going to discount the value of protecting and making that soil healthier too. People sometimes do not understand the value of healthy, well-functioning soil. And man, it's time we bring that home. We've got to understand that.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, Cheryl, we're getting down toward the end of the time here on the podcast. Is there anything else that you would like to leave with our listeners today before we wrap up the show?
Well, I guess what I would like to say is the Blue Thumb program has room for caring people to come aboard and work with us on protecting streams and rivers. But I'll also say this, Clay, a lot of the work that the Blue Thumb staff and volunteers do when we're talking about education, a lot of our work is very focused on helping people to have good outdoor experiences. And that's probably actually a whole nother podcast. But when people have good outdoor experiences, then they can actually love the land, the woods, and the water. When you genuinely care about resources, the idea of protecting those resources, even if it costs you a little bit, even if it's a little bit inconvenient, that's just a natural thing to do. And that's what we're looking to do, is to help people gain an understanding of how important it is that we all work together to have healthier communities, whether they're rural or urban. Sometimes it surprises people, Clay, but we're saying in Blue Thumb, in a lot of cases, the way you treat your yard can have an impact on whether your downstream neighbors flood. And people who live in town don't get that. They say, what do you mean, my yard? Well, if we can help urbanites even learn a little bit about how to have healthy soils that hold water, and we don't have chemicals washing off all those lawns, we can make big progress in helping downstream neighbors and keeping streams and rivers in those channels where they really want to be.
Well, and I guess that's probably the last thing I'm going to leave with is, if people want to have more information on Blue Thumb, if they want to know where they can get more information, how they can sign up, or just curious about the program, where can they go to get that information, Cheryl?
They can go to the Blue Thumb website, www.bluethumbok.com. And also, Clay, they are welcome to call or email me. Do you want me to give them that information too?
Yes, if you'd be willing to.
All right, here's a phone number for Cheryl Cheadle with Blue Thumb, 918-398-1804. And an email is cheryl.cheadle@conservation.ok.gov. And that Cheryl is C-H-E-R-Y-L. And that Cheadle is C-H-E-A-D, as in dog, L-E. And it's been wonderful talking to you, Clay. I can keep going, but I know your podcast is limited.
Well, Cheryl, we thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And like you said, I think there's enough stuff we could talk about to have another podcast episode. So we'll have you on again in the future. But thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be with us and visit with us.
And Clay, in case nobody said this to you lately, I really appreciate appreciate you and the work that you are doing.
Well, thank
you. And thank you, and you keep it up, and let's make good things happen together.
Well, on behalf of the Hub and Redlands, we appreciate that, and we appreciate all of you taking the time to listen to the podcast today. Again, this has been an episode of the Southern Plains Podcast. I'm Clay Pope. I'm with the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub at El Reno, Oklahoma, and this podcast is a joint venture of the Hub and the Redlands Community College Division of Agriculture, also located in El Reno. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.